Would you please pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give thanks for your Spirit that fills our world and fills our lives. We pray that through that Spirit, we may hear your word for us today. Amen.
Mark 1:1-8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I is coming after me. I am not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Today is the second Sunday in Advent, which means that we just started a new church year and a new gospel. This year we'll be reading through the Gospel of Mark, which presents an interesting challenge for the seasons of Christmas and Advent, because they're missing in Mark. Last year we were in Matthew and the year before Luke. Both those Gospels begin with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. But Mark has no babe lying in a manger. Instead, he begins when Jesus is an adult. Rather than angelic messengers announcing the arrival of Jesus, the gospel according to Mark announces the arrival of Jesus with a guy named John dressing in leather, eating bugs, and telling people to repent. So I hope y'all are excited for next Sunday's Christmas pageant according to Mark. Or maybe that wouldn't go over so well. It feels like Mark's introduction to Jesus just doesn't fit that well in Advent, which is probably why our Christmas pageants always use the stories from Luke where we learn about Mary and Joseph in the manger. But it's interesting that before Luke tells the story of baby Jesus, Luke tells the story of baby John. And once we learn about baby John, Mark's introduction to Jesus feels a lot more Advent-y. Because this wild scene in the desert is the culmination of a life spent waiting and preparing for the Messiah. Or technically, more than a life. John is filled with the Holy Spirit before he's born. The angel Gabriel comes to John's father and tells him that he will have a son named John. But John won't be a normal child. John's birth will be a medical miracle. John will receive the Holy Spirit in the womb. John will be a great prophet with a single purpose. John will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And for better or worse, John had the sort of parents who knew what to do with that kind of news. Elizabeth and Zechariah were Levites, so religion was the family business, and they stood out in the family. Luke said that they were, or Gabriel, I guess, said that they were righteous and without fault. But despite their righteousness, they probably stood out at the temple too, because they were from the tribe of Benjamin, which is from a poor rural area. For generations, their family had watched the temple gain power and wealth as it aligned itself with Herod's government. It's unlikely that Elizabeth and Zechariah were temple insiders it's much more likely that they were the kind of people who were ready for the temple to change. And they were given the task of raising the prophet who would prepare God's people for that change. So John's whole life was dedicated to this single purpose, preparing the way for the Messiah. For 30 years, he studied and prayed and taught and gained such a following that the whole country was joining his movement. But the movement was not about him. It was about the one that was coming, the one who had great power, the Son of God, who would bring good news. The one who would bring good news, or gospel. That obviously refers to Jesus. But before Mark wrote that opening line, "This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ," the Roman Empire had circulated propaganda that said that the birth of Jesus was the beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus, a savior whose kingdom would bring peace and salvation for all people. Because the Romans believed that Caesar was the Son of God who was born of a virgin. So when Mark used these words to describe Jesus, it's a direct challenge to the Roman government. But that's actually like a little bit later. John the Baptist was doing this in real time, making enemies with Herod and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, confident that he was preparing the way for a strong Messiah whose power would overwhelm his adversaries. This is what John has spent his whole life preparing for. But here's the thing, and it's just crushing. John was wrong. John goes after Herod and gets thrown in jail. And meanwhile, the Messiah he'd been waiting for is not building an army. Jesus is enjoying extravagant dinners with tax collectors, the kind of corrupt rich guys that a guy like John was expecting the Messiah to take down. So from his jail cell, John sends a message to Jesus that reads, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Now, we can understand that in one of two ways. It could be that John is angry, and this is the meanest question he can think of, as if he was saying, "I was put on earth to introduce the Messiah. I know what the Messiah looks like, and it ain't you. So maybe I should start looking for someone else." Or it could be that John is actually asking a question about himself. Should I keep looking? Did I do something wrong? John bet his life on what he expected the Messiah to look like, and now he seems to be wondering if he was wrong. I mean, it could be that John is angry, but John's questions are actually questions about himself. And it seems that he's actually doing something beautiful. That John is asking if his unmet expectations led him away from the Christ. I mean, despite all he knew, John's expectations caused him to think, certainly, the Christ can't look like that. And that's a thought that dwells within us all, even if it never rises to consciousness. Our expectations of how Jesus is revealed or could be revealed in the world, those expectations limit our ability to see God at work. Like John, we get so focused on how God should act that we fail to see how God does act. And this is not because like we're bad people or anything, but simply because surviving a season of waiting, like we need to hope for change, for specific change. We hope for the thing that we can't bring about on our own. We cry out, Lord, save us. And that's actually faith. But it's usually faith in a particular outcome that we're attached to, an idea of what God needs to do. And these ideas, these hopes, these expectations, they usually tell us more about ourselves than how God is actually acting in the world. So we have Advent, a season to slow down, to notice what we hope for, what we desire, what we expect. Advent is a season for learning about ourselves, for letting go of our unconscious desires to control God and instead welcoming a Messiah we cannot yet see. And Advent is also a season to remember that we wait for a Messiah who responded to John's disappointment and fear with tender affection. I mean, this is how Jesus responded when John asked him, are you the one who is to come or should we wait for another? Jesus says, tell John what you hear and see. Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. And the poor have good news proclaimed to them. And perhaps that's what we need to hear today. Jesus meeting us in our brokenness and fear, telling us, now that we're done with all those unrealistic expectations, I would love you to meet me. Here's who I am. I am bringing hope and life and healing. Now, won't you join me? Amen.